The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. I got you right here beside me, my little buddy. I'm calling this one the Sun's Out, Puns Out Tuesday edition.
Hey, Crudy. Beautiful day in Madison. A pleasure to join you in studio here, WMDX. Aaron on the board the first hour here. Our fair audience, thank you for tuning in, man. It's going to be a great show, man. All 3 hours together again, man. We're getting the band back together.
We got the band back together. Limited engagement. I know you don't like to work this hard.
You know,
often.
I'm telling you, man.
That, Dom, you only have so many opportunities in life to be the greatest radio show ever.
Don't lose it. Don't blow it.
Don't blow it. Like the apparent recall efforts of Robin Voss.
Come on.
I now understand from the reporting I've seen, widely reported, they've come up short, Dom.
How is that even possible? They submitted like 10,000 signatures.
Not only that, but maybe they've created a constitutional crisis, question mark, well, in that.
Seems appropriate for Republicans these days.
There's the old Robin Voss district, the district he was elected in.
Ooh, the previous maps.
The previous maps. And?
And?
The new Robin Voss districts.
The new maps.
The new maps. Well, I guess the Wisconsin Elections Commission is going to try and determine how many of these signatures, you know, the petition to recall Robin Voss. Because if they've got 10,700 and they needed 6,850 to get 25% of the gubernatorial election most recent cycle, that's 22, in his district. Well, you know, did some of these people think they lived in Robin Voss's district, or do you have a lot of what would you describe them as?
Fraudulent out of district
petitioners?
At least one, perhaps.
At least one guy claims somebody signed his name, represented him fraudulently. Dom, he's a little bit up in arms. I am a little up in arms, though, because, you know, I love this effort.
Yeah.
Right up until now, when it crashes and burns, when it crashes on the rocks, Dom, this apparently will fall short. And how many were they short by? Like 700 signatures? It wasn't an astronomically large number.
It was not.
It's still more than
945.
945 out of a prerequisite 6,850, my understanding. That's still more than 10%.
So what were the other 4,000? That's what I don't get.
Superfluous. They were bonus people that just didn't like Robin Voss, that were just willing to sign any piece of paper. And you know, did they not consider laying down a map and saying, do you live here? Sign here.
Well, when you sign, don't you sign your name and your address and your
You
zip
do if
code?
You want to be a valid right. petitioner.
Right.
And say, yes, I can legitimately sign because I am represented in the 63rd. The only question.
Which 63rd?
Which, the old 63rd?
Or the new
63rd?
Or the new 63rd? The new and improved 63rd.
That I wonder if that is even meaningful. I think they've blown it, Dom. I think they've come up short and they try to cloud it. You know, they're pointing at metrics that don't matter. We've got 10,700 crazy wackadoos that want Robin Foss out. Yeah, but do they live in this district?
Well, I mean,
some do.
Apparently,
many,
most, but not all.
But not enough to meet the actual standard of 6,850. I knew at some point, you know, they rounded up at the Washington Post, but I knew getting the accurate figure was going to be pertinent at some point. Because as fate would have it, they've blown it. Mom's spaghetti all over their sweaters. So is the effort dead? Or do you think they now sue? Do we have litigation that stems out of this?
I think, you know,
and legitimately, because there is a real question here. If under the 63rd, the fight in 63rd, whether it's the old maps and the new maps, if cumulatively you had a significant number, if you could add more than 900 to the valid total, would that sway the Wisconsin Elections Commission to come to a different answer? Or are we running straight to litigation?
Well, I don't know. I mean, here's the question. So when they went out and collected these signatures, what maps were they referring to? You know, I mean, because obviously the lines
recall
changed.
Robin Voss.
Recall Robin Voss. New maps, old maps. So either way it works out, if they use the new maps, perhaps it would have been better if they use the old maps. Do they have to do? Are they going to do a redo when now? Recall the recall.
I would wonder.
Total recall.
Total recall 2.0. Because, but I would wonder if they actually started this effort, because you get a run-up period, right?
Right.
If their expiration of time, if they just hit the clock, if they just ran out the clock, what was their run-up? Like 6 weeks? 2 months? I mean, they had some period of time.
Right.
60 days? I forget. I recall there was sufficient number of ballots in the Scott Walker recall effort. Theoretically, those that signed did so in good stead, thinking that Robin Voss was their rep, because they were aware there are new maps and he's in my district
or
I want him out.
Or thinking Robin Voss was their guy because they're in the old maps and maybe they're not in the new district, but they were in the old district. Or, as you mentioned, they weren't in the old district. They're now in the new district. You know, perhaps when Governor Evers asked the Supreme Court to weigh in on this, they should have.
What are you blaming the courts?
Well, apparently, according to Molly Beck at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today, when the Wisconsin Elections Commission met to talk about this, they have also requested Attorney General Josh Call to inquire to the Supreme Court which maps should be used. I mean, how many people are going to have to ask the same question to get an answer?
You know, I'll put the failure to indict fake electors on Josh's desk. But this one, I'm going to put on the courts. You know, the courts decide. Here is the headline. Robin Voss recall organizers fail to submit enough valid signatures. Don't.
Wah, wah, wah.
Initial review finds organizers, Molly Beck reporting, organizers of a recall attempt against Wisconsin's longest-serving assembly speaker failed to gather enough signatures in the district he was last elected in to trigger a recall election, according to an initial review by the State Elections Commission.
So they're going off the old 63rd.
The old 63rd. These signatures are now under scrutiny as the Elections Commission and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and his allies investigate each signature to determine how many are valid. Racine County resident said Tuesday his name was illegally forged on the recall petition and has contacted local law enforcement, right? Well, the district attorney, I guess. Supporters of former president and presumptive GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump are seeking to oust Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Red on red crime, as I would describe it. I was gleeful yesterday when I thought they had the sufficient number of signatures. They're trying to oust Voss over his criticism of Trump and his unwillingness to break the law. Oh, really? You know,
I mean, I think that's fair
his
reporting.
Unwillingness to break the law and undo the 2020 Wisconsin presidential election.
I think that's very accurate.
Do you think it was the law that kept him on the right side of this issue?
No, but I appreciate Molly Beck framing it as such. Recall organizer Matthew Snorek said Monday his group was submitting more than 10,000 signatures, nearly 4,000 more than required. But on Tuesday, the WEC staff determined the recall organizers did not obtain enough signatures from residents in the district Voss was elected in when the recall began, falling about 945 signatures short. But the state's legislative maps, of course, have changed since then, Crudy, and those new boundaries may complicate the final counting of signatures. The recall petition filing comes days after the state Supreme Court declined to weigh in on Democratic Governor Tony Evers' request to clarify, yes, please clarify whether the state's new legislative districts apply to elections held before November, leaving potential questions about how election officials will address the proposed recall.
I have many questions.
Just what we need, more questions in our elections. Don't tell the Republicans. Elections Commission staff plan to conduct a second review of signatures and will determine how many valid signatures are present under the old and new electoral maps. Commissioners on Tuesday during a special Elections Commission meeting also voted to ask Attorney General Josh Call to seek clarification from the state Supreme Court on which district boundaries to use when determining whether the recall organizers gathered enough signatures to trigger a recall election. Seems like something you'd want to know up front. You know what I mean? Just saying. If you're going to go through the effort, come up 945 short, maybe you should have known up front.
You but know something about coming up short, don't you?
Story of my life, brother. But this, of course, that's the thing. And why is it the old maps? Why wouldn't it be the new maps? What if they didn't get enough signatures using the old maps, but they got enough signatures under the new maps? What happens then? Do they have a claim? Do they have a point?
I think a better point than the one you're trying to make.
Sam Whalen, a Republican who lives in Yorkville, said Tuesday his name appears illegally on the recall petition. Today I called the DA and started the process of going after those who attempted to steal my identity. Shame on them. These Voss recall people are determined that 2020 was stolen, but now want to steal our election for us by forcing a recall of our successful candidate. Don't mess it up, man. You got one chance.
I'm a little sad they blew it, Tom. They blew it! You blew it! You had the opportunity. 945 signatures from his district short. So, collecting all these wasted signatures from outside the district, what good did that do? Did they not do door-to-door?
What district? Which one?
You think there's a valid point here?
There may be. If they have enough signatures in the new district, I think they got a fighting chance.
You think... What you're telling me is there's still a shot. Yeah. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. We can find guests joining us this hour only. John Nichols from The Nation, from The Cap Time, our friend. He's got new stuff out there. Supreme Court favoring Trump. Shocker. Don't blow it. Stick around.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
But a special, today only. Well, today and tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
We got Dominic here in Madison doing the early hour with us, WMDX 92.7. Better call your friends. Better tell them Dirty Dom's on.
Jeez.
Dom, the recall of Robin Voss, sadly, dead on arrival. That is my guesstimate. But you're right. There could be a legal claim. There might be a carve out. There might be just a smidge of a chance, a Hail Mary of a chance that somehow they find another 1,000 voters that thought they were in Robin Voss's district. They've apparently come about 945 signatures short before they go line by line and really dig in and start questioning. I bet you Robin Voss has got the staff for it.
We know he does.
So I think this effort, probably dead. Dead on arrival. Saddens me.
Okay, but let me throw something else at it. Just as we're thinking about this issue. What about the circumstance would allow for, I don't know, someone like Will to come in and file a lawsuit.
I know. Wouldn't that be galling? You know, we didn't intend to file a lawsuit about the maps.
But now
there is a actual legitimate question of law. Is it possible that Robin Voss is behind the recall Robin Voss effort?
I mean, that's pretty conspiratorial, man.
That would be multi-level chess. If that turned out to be true, I'm not saying it's not true, but that would be some dark and dirty stuff. That'd be some black magic stuff. So here's my thought. No, right. I think it's probably MAGA wackadoos behind the recall effort. You know, they were out there before the maps were currently established. But legitimately, I think there is a question of law that has been opened, this Pandora's box, this can of worms. And if this has any effect on the greater usage of the maps this fall, I don't know where I got to burn it down, but I'm going to go burn it down, man. Rhetorically on the radio, but I'm burning something.
It's just something, you know, given the what we've lived through the last 10, 15 years in the state, I think it's something we should at least acknowledge a possibility of.
Well, who would be the plaintiff here? Who would have to go running off to the courts? I mean, Robin Voss is not going to sue to get this thing accepted. He's happy with this outcome, right? The Wisconsin Elections Commission has said this recall effort came up short. So he's not going to go sue. So it'll have to be the crazy MAGA wackadoos that say we, and I think the number, we'll have a better sense as they sort of parse out, are there other voters that fall in the new 63rd? Because there are new maps, old maps. Well, they didn't have sufficient signatures under the old maps, but are there another approximately 1,000 people that thought they should and therefore signed these petitions? Because they want to see Voss out and they're potentially in the new Voss district. Well, that might open up Pandora's box.
Well, yeah, whoever the plaintiff could be, whomever's recall vote is not counted because they're out of the district.
But let's think this through just a little bit further. Go down this rabbit hole with me. Because of the timing of this recall election, right? Now you got to give a primary, potentially. I mean, you could have a Democratic candidate. Let's not forget the Dems had multiple candidates when it was time to try and recall Scott Walker. So you had a primary, and then you had a general, like a February primary, if I recall, and like a June general for the recall of Scott Walker. And ultimately, Tom Barrett was the candidate that came through the primary. But that took months, the recall. I mean, it started in like November. And then
you print yours out like immediately.
Immediately.
Like midnight.
12:01, print. Yeah, I wanted to see this SOB recalled. And this was the effort. And I was up for this jackassery. And I signed it. And I, you know, I've told the story. I'm not going to tell this story again, Dom. But the whole point is, it was like 6 months from the time the recall first ignited to the point where he was on the ballot and there was an actual election. Well, if this were a successful attempt, A, if he hasn't met the standard of the old map, they could just say, well, throw it out then. It's not gonna meet. But if it meets the standard of the new map,
yeah, if they don't meet the standard of either maps, obviously done deal.
Game over.
But either one of those leaves something up for question.
If cumulatively they would meet the standard of the necessary signatures. Now we got a quandary. And now could they delay the incorporation of the fall maps because you've got a recall that's got to go through under the prior maps? You got to consolidate. You got to have a voting district for Robin Voss to go run for re-election in or recall in. He has the right to face his accusers. But who would be the litigant? I mean, theoretically, Adam Steen, Janelle Branchen, someone along those lines.
Any one of the petitioners whose recall signature was not allowed based on old map, new map. You know what I mean?
Well, that's
a
great observation.
Could have a lot.
I'm shocked you made it.
You're welcome. I'm done here, folks. Thank you. That's all
call
I got.
It a day.
That's it. Work is done.
You know, you can be a part. 844-967-2789. I think the effort is dead. You know who's not dead, though? Barry Alvarez.
You know? All right. Glad to hear. I heard there's some rumors going around.
Rumors
town.
On the interwebs.
Oh, the interwebs. Barry's, well, there you go.
Barry's dead. I was happy to hear, you know, the what was the old Mark Twain line? And I believe Alvarez quoted Twain when he said, "The reports of my death are greatly exaggerated." <You're right. laughs> They did a column at the Cap Times today. Apparently, Alvarez had to go out and declare,
"He's alive.
I'm not dead yet.
I'm not dead yet. I'm getting better."
I find this very humorous. Barry Alvarez, 77, apparently living down in Florida. And the new athletic director, Chris McIntosh, called him. I got a call from Chris McIntosh as Alvarez tells the story to the Cap Times. He said, "Man, am I glad to hear your voice. There's something online that you'd passed away. You're dead." Alvarez assumed.
Assured.
Pardon me. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I would have gotten back there.
Yeah, I know.
Alvarez assured him that was not the case.
I swear to God, I'm not dead yet.
I'm not dead yet, just as Twain once did in the late 1800s after reading of his own obituary in the newspaper. I would love to read my obituary, Dom. They did ask us for biographies. I feel like I wrote my obituary today. Yeah. I don't know where it came from, but someone put it out there on Twitter. Alvarez said, from his condo in Naples, Florida. Well, Florida is where people do go to die. Both of our phones were blown up. But luckily, Alvarez more alive than the recall efforts of Robin Voss. Because those, I think those are dead. Dom, great to see you. That always lifts my spirits.
Yeah, man.
I invited a friend. We got John Nichols joining us next, live from D.C. We'll have to ask him, why are you in D.C., John Nichols? And he'll give us some interesting story that may not be the real story. Because, you know, it's how you collect business expenses. So travel, right?
You don't even know what a write-off is, Jerry.
Come back with us. The boys are back. Dom, joining me early today. Doing a little extra work. He'll be crabby later, I can tell. More of you on the phones, but not till after. John, 844-967-2789.
Ninepence.
I'm not dead.
What?
Nothing. Here's your ninepence.
I'm not dead.
Here. He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is.
I'm not. He isn't?
Well, he will be soon. He's very ill.
I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment.
Oh, I can't take it.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back. Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Tuesday?
It's only Tuesday.
It's only Tuesday. I got my little buddy Dominic here with me for hour number one. We're joined by a fine guest, live via phone, live from D.C. He is John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times. John, welcome back.
Hey, John.
Hey, it's good to be with you both. You got that sort of like folky downbeat Tuesday bumper music going.
Yeah, a little baby. Grateful Dead for you. Friend of the Devil, John Nichols. I just saw you at I just saw you at Kamala Harris not so long ago, John, here in Madison, and we got the president coming to Milwaukee tomorrow. But you're out in D.C. What's the occasion, John?
Well, you know, I don't want to be here for too long. I came out to actually do some stuff with Senator Sanders, where, you know, because we had this book that came out and our paperback is out now. And so we're doing some podcasts and stuff like that. And just, you know, what you do when you have a book out, you try and let people know it is available for their holiday gifting.
You know, I've never written a book, John, so I don't know what that's like, man. The book tours, is Bernie a fun guy to party with?
Bernie is cool. No, this is a very important thing to understand. He has a very fun sense of humor, and he is a very easy guy to work with. You know, I think a lot of media is not always as generous to him as they should be, because he's very serious when he gets on the issues, right? If he's talking about Gaza, if he's talking about health care for all, you know, he goes to the heart of it. He doesn't joke around about it. And so people just assume, you know, he's always on and always serious. The reality is, he is kind of a fun guy to hang out with. We're both big walkers. And so we go, when we're on book tour, we go for walks around the towns that we're in, which is kind of a trippy thing, because sometimes we will show up in a neighborhood and people we'll be out doing lawn yard work or something like that, and they'll look up and go, oh my gosh, it's Bernie Sanders.
Hey, John, so what's the name of the book and what's the subject of the book and where can people get it if they want it? Let's get that out of the way right away.
Oh, well, I'm not. Yeah, the title is It's Okay to Be Angry About Capitalism. Nice provocative title.
Right.
And we thought that it would, we thought maybe that was a little risky as a title, but it turned out we ended up as number two on the New York Times bestseller list.
Nice.
Right after Prince Harry. So, our next book is going to be titled It's Okay to Be Angry About the Royal Family.
especially their pictures.
But at this point, you can get the book anywhere. It's pretty much bookstores and, online and all that stuff. Encourage people to shop at their local bookstore in Madison, Leopold's or Mystery to Me or wherever, wherever people buy books from a human being. I like that the best.
John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times here in Madison. John, I don't know if you saw it, but Joe Biden put out new financial propositions, his budget.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a big budget, but it had a lot of progressive proposals in there. John, has Bernie given you any opinion, and do you have any opinions on Joe Biden's quote-unquote progressive budget?
Well, I won't speak too much for Senator Sanders. He can speak for himself, but I will tell you that it is my opinion that somehow every once in a while, Joe Biden is channeling his inner Franklin Roosevelt.
Yeah.
And that's what this looks like. This is a tax the rich and use the money to secure Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, education, health care. That's exactly what a budget ought to do, right? A budget ought to take money from those who've got a lot of it, right? And in a fair and equitable way, make sure that that money goes to pay for the things that as a society we need. And at this point, we do need, a shoring up of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, because Donald Trump is running around saying, as he did Monday on CNBC, that, he's open to, quote unquote, cutting entitlements. And so I think what's happening is that Biden is setting up his distinctions from Trump. You know, we're getting a feel for how Biden is going to be running a very distinct campaign from Trump, and it is going to be a more economic populist campaign. And why that's a big deal is because that's the kind of campaign that Democrats can. Doesn't always mean that they will, but it's the kind of campaign that Democrats can win big. And I remind folks that the last time that a president introduced a big wealth tax, and that's what this is from Biden, it's a wealth tax. The last time that a president introduced a big wealth tax in anticipation of an election, it was FDR back in 1935, 1936. And he went on to win the biggest landslide in American political history and got a Congress where three quarters of the seats were held by Democrats. He was able to actually really implement the heart of the New Deal. And in fact, at that very time, create and begin to develop Social Security. So I'm not saying Biden's going to win that way. I think, we're a more divided country. These are different times and different candidates. But what I will tell you is that this is the kind of budget that Biden should be running on. He shouldn't ought to be running on I'm a little bit better than the Republicans budget, right? That doesn't excite people very much. But I'm going to actually, find some revenues, find some resources, and do a whole bunch of good things. Yeah, that's what politics is supposed to be about. You're supposed to tell people there's a reason to vote for you. And this budget, I think, is in the there's a reason to vote for you category.
Well, John, before we contrast with the prior administration, I have one question about the big price tag, the add it all up at the end, the $7.3 trillion. If we're expecting revenues closer to $5 trillion, and I'm all down for let's carve out some new revenues, let's tax the rich. I'm down for that, John Nichols. I hope to be amongst those taxed someday. But
yeah, you want to hit a big tax bill.
Yeah, exactly. we all do, right? I like the Magus and everybody else. I want to be rich and get a big tax bill someday.
Yeah.
But John, ultimately, is it good politics to roll out the big price tag?
No, people don't like the big price tag. They get scared by it. And that's appropriate, right? We don't want to run huge deficits. We don't want to run huge debts. That's not a smart move at the end of the day, because at some point, economy might be less stable than it is right now, less robust than it is, and things could catch up with you. So you want to be, you know, somewhat fiscally responsible, somewhat prudent in doing that. But you don't want to be so cautious that you fall into that austerity trap where you're doing cuts even when you don't have to. And so what I would say about this budget is, yeah, I mean, you got to look at it for those spaces and places where you can find revenue, make sure that you don't, again, run up debt. But as Stephanie Kelton and other economists have taught us, and in fact, the current moment seems to suggest, when you invest, when you spend money at a reasonably robust level at the federal government level and also at the state level, it doesn't harm you. It actually grows the economy. And so this is what you're looking for. You're looking for that intersection, right? That perfect spot where government's spending a decent amount, but that's really priming the pump. It's making the economy stronger, more robust. And so then you get more revenues coming in and the whole thing works. One thing I can assure you, however, is that our Republican friends are not going to let Biden get everything he wants, right? I mean, that's a pretty good bet at this point. And so you get that sort of dialectic, if you will, of American politics. The Democrats propose big. The Republicans, you know, obviously try to cut that back. And, you know, the key in this is that for somebody like Biden, he needs to be proposing big. If he goes cautious, if the Democrats are all obsessed with not spending a lot of money and just being kinder, gentler Republicans, we never really move forward, right? We're always moving on the Republican agenda. And so it's good that Biden did what he did. We know he will not get all that he wants. I mean, Speaker Johnson has made that quite clear. But at least he's giving a perspective on what he would like to do. He would like Joe Biden, as president of the United States, to tax the very, very rich, the billionaires, and use that money to make sure that Social Security and Medicare, Medicaid are secure for the future. On balance, I'd rather be running on that than what appears is going to be Trump's motto, which is don't tax the rich and start to cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's our friend John Nichols from the Cap Times and the Nation magazine. John, your piece in the Cap Times from earlier this month. Is there anything the Supreme Court won't do for Trump? And I got to tell you, John, I don't know if there is. What do you think?
There's no evidence that they have any filters on them, man. They're like, oh, you got a trial that might be problematic for you because you might go to jail before the election? We'll delay the trial, right? And apparently delay it for a very long time, thus justice denied. You got a violation of the Constitution, Article 14, Section 3 says you're not supposed to try and, you know, overthrow the results of an election and install yourself as an illegitimate president. Well, we don't accept that. that's not a problem for us. And so we've seen quite a few rulings of late where the Supreme Court basically does Donald Trump's bidding. And that's the thing to understand. This is a partisan court. Wish I could say differently. I wish I could give you a different perspective. But that's what it is. This is a court where the majority is a partisan judicial activist cabal appointed by Donald Trump and by previous Republican presidents. They see it as their mission to protect and preserve Republican majorities. This is what they did in 2020 when they had Bush v. Gore. We had a perfectly legitimate, perfectly healthy recount going on in Florida, if you'll recall, in 2000. And they halted it. They said, oh, we don't want to know the actual results of the election. We're just going to declare it done right now when George W. Bush is a little bit ahead with 537 votes. And we're going to make him president of the United States. And that's that. And if we look back on it, I'm not sure that their intervention in 2000 worked out all that well. And frankly, I'm not sure their interventions right now are working out all that well.
John, I hear what you're saying, and I don't disagree, but then I also wonder, you know, given the gravity of the situation, given the fact that we've never had a former president, you know, indicted and convicted and perhaps could potentially go to jail. And as history looks back on it, giving the former president every opportunity, every chance that they can, because I can't imagine that this Supreme Court is going to acknowledge and accept the fact that a president has unlimited immunity to do anything they want. Because if that's the case, I think Biden's going to be the one calling SEAL Team 6. So do you think the gravity and the history is impacting this, or is it just pure partisanship?
There's a little bit of both. And the justices are different, right? Clarence Thomas has shown a lot of evidence of pure partisanship on a regular basis. You look at the record, you know, this guy ought to be recusing himself from all sorts of cases for a whole bunch of reasons. But then you've got people like, and I'm going to, this may be the only time I say this, Amy Coney Barrett, who on the on a couple of these recent rulings and a couple of these recent issues, she has distinguished herself, especially on the 14.3 insurrection clause issue. She did seem to suggest, and had a concurrence, which seemed to suggest she thought the court was going too far, right? That it was kind of tearing up parts of the Constitution. And so I've covered the court for a very, very long time. I can tell you that there are internal dynamics which keep developing and redeveloping. My sense is that John Roberts would like this court to have legitimacy. And he's looking for an ally on the conservative side. There's only three liberals. And so you got to get two conservatives to make anything happen. And I think it may well turn up to be on that immunity issue, right? That blanket immunity issue. And that's a good thing. I mean, we should celebrate that. But don't celebrate too much. I mean, don't go partying all night, because the fact of the matter is that that's just one little issue. I mean, it's a big issue. It matters. But it's only one of the many issues that are coming before the court. And most of them, they're wrong.
John, I've got a confession to make on behalf of the panel. We do intend to party all night, sir.
I anticipated no less, knowing you pretty well and having watched you at the Kamala Harris event where you were, you know, like asking where the free bar was.
I was discouraged by the cash bar nature. No, John Nichols, our friend. Thanks for coming around, John. We'll catch up. Safe travels back from D.C., sir.
Thanks, John.
All right. I appreciate being with you.
Thanks. More Devil's Advocates. Phone lines open. 844-967-2789.
First one say she got my child, but it don't look like it. I said I'm running, but I took my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight. Just might get some sleep tonight.
The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us anytime on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Did you call for this, or was this just serendipity? The official road trip band of Across Wisconsin, Van Halen playing.
Is that OU 812 or 5150?
You know, we have these deep thoughts when we're out on the road.
With the devil's advocate.
We do it for you people. Now, I've been seeing lots of Joe Biden ads.
Oh, yeah?
And yeah, lots of Joe Biden ads. Mm. I watch the news now.
Yeah. Is that where you're seeing it? I don't see
it is. When you watch the local news, you're targeted with the political ads. And Joe Biden's up in a big way, and I like to see it.
He's
spent
a lot of money, man, like $30 million or something, right?
He's got some money to spend, apparently.
Yeah, he made a lot after that State of the Union.
The campaign doing okay for right
yeah,
now.
All right. No civil lawsuits he's got to pay up, no attorney's fees.
Yeah, it's amazing how much you can spend on campaign ads when you're not defending yourself in court constantly. But here's my point.
Yes.
I'm not sure if this is just a blip on the radar, because kind of, sort of, Wisconsin's soon to be up on the primary clock, April 2nd, right?
Oh, hell, I got to register.
Yeah, no, you don't. Yeah. Register on game day.
Oh, man, I don't want to mess around.
It's like showing up at the parking lots and scalping some tickets. It's easier than that, Tom. It will not be a problem for you.
Okay. Thank you.
I assure you.
Okay. I got to get a new license, too.
You got a utility bill?
Yeah. It's in my wife's name. I got a mortgage statement, though, so I can use that.
Well, can you?
I don't know. So I'm saying, I don't be waiting until the last minute, you know, given the circumstances.
Yes.
And everyone then yelling at me, Dom didn't go vote again. So I got
again. When didn't you go vote last time?
Oh,
whatever the last elective.
Last time, right? Yes, the last time. But yes, your point.
The primary election.
Yes,
you did not vote in the spring primary.
Correct.
And if you don't go re-register, you will not be voting in the spring partisan primary, presidential partisan primary / general election. You know, it's funny. Vicky McKenna, righty whitey talk radio host, your girl.
Your girl, yeah, yeah.
Your girl.
Yes, she loves me.
She does. I heard her bemoaning the fact the MPS referendum that will be on the ballot in Milwaukee this spring.
I will be voting on that.
Well, too important for a spring ballot, in her opinion. And, you know, she had an expert. She had Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. riding shotgun.
Yeah, all right, man.
So they're pontificating about the fact
it's that pitchforks and torches time in America.
But spring elections, that's not when you make these important school referendum decisions. But, of course, it typically is. That is when the very, very civically minded come out and decide whether or not the schools are funded. Spring elections. Well, that comes up April 2nd. My question is that why Joe Biden's starting to blanket the airwaves, or can we expect this all the way to November?
I think it's all the way, man.
You don't think there's going to be a drop off?
No, not a swing state like Wisconsin when the money's flowing and this is where we're at. No, I highly doubt it.
Do you see the special prosecutor? And I want to go here in hour number two. We don't tell the others, so if they didn't join, we don't tell them. We'll pretend like it's hour one again.
All right.
But the Robert Hur, the special prosecutor that called Joe Biden old.
The guy that resigned before he gave testimony.
Well, it's a little safer that way, isn't it?
Isn't it, though?
That's very convenient. My understanding is he was aided by Mega World in resigning at the proper time before he had to go give testimony.
Really? He needed Mega advice to decide when to resign before giving testimony versus just resigning yourself before you give testimony?
The company you keep down. I mean, I've often been accused of making bad associations, mostly on the radio.
You tell me about it, man.
So we've got lots of sound of that. And, of course, the failed recall effort. I don't know if we'll have many more opportunities to talk about the failed recall effort of Robin Voss. I'm very disappointed about
Wisconsin's
that.
Assembly leader.
Early grievance. This one's gotten under my skin.
You were so very happy about it yesterday. And now you're just like so bummed out.
The highs are so high, but the lows are so low.
Is it wrong that I find that amusing?
That you take glee at
in your emotional roller coaster. I mean, I'd like to be a part of it, man. I mean,
well, fortunately, I call you often and drag you into it every day on the radio. You know how I am. You don't want it for the uninitiated. Yes. You want no part of this roller coaster ride that is my life. The ups, the downs, the laughing, the crying.
Right.
But mostly, Dom, let's be honest.
The whimpering. Oh, what? The crying yourself to sleep at night thing?
Well, I was going to say the angry outburst. Yeah. You know, there's a fair number of those mixed in for good measure.
Well, I mean, you got to.
You people make me angry sometimes.
You can't keep it in, man. You got to let it out once in a while.
Bob, we weren't going there yet, but Bob from Madison's been patient. Welcome, Bob. You're the first one today. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, Bob.
Oh, okay. I want to talk about the hearing this morning. Sure. The testimony. He came across pretty clean and relatively impartial through most of the stuff. But
nobody goes out and says, I'm a hack. Believe me, I'm a hack. No one ever. It's like going on a first date, man. You don't show her your real side or she'd never date you again, Bob.
Says Grudy.
Well, yeah. But here's the thing. Somebody read the transcript that just came out this morning, and a Democratic woman hit the one out of the park. He claims that his faulty memory, Biden's faulty memory, is largely based on the fact that he doesn't remember the year that his son died. And it turns out in the transcript that he doesn't remember the year, but he says May 30th. So how does that show a bad memory? It shows bad faith reporting of the situation, to me, is what it shows.
Bob, that's an excellent point. I don't recall what year our friend Bob died, but I know it was April 20th, right? Yeah. April 21st, technically.
19th or 20th, yeah.
Yeah. that rings true to me for that reason.
Well, it's also pretty emotional, man. You know, I mean, some people will be burned in their mind forever. You know, my dad passed away 3-4 years ago. I mean, remember it was in March. What was the year was it? 1920? You know, what a waste of time today. This whole hearing, these Republican, the MAGAs trying to what? The guy, Joe Biden, not charged. Apparently not exonerated either. I mean, what's that all about? But what a waste of time. Hey, there's no getting around it. Everyone knows I'm old. I mean, Joe's got a campaign out ad right now acknowledging that fact. Would you rather be old or be a fascist?
Let me ask you. Would you rather outlive Crudy, knowing all these gaps in your memory you'll never have them filled without me? Or would you rather I outlived you, because at least I would remember you existed?
I'm going to live forever, Crudy.
I would tell the stories over and over, the glory days. Come back, the glory days are today.